from the U.S. Congress congressional leadership tonight. WCBS News Time, 5:31 here in the afternoon.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
CBS News Update. I'm Lou Miliano. A third World Trade Center building has now collapsed. The 47-story building number 7. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick is there.
Suddenly everyone started screaming. When I looked up, all you could see was this huge wall of dust and debris coming down the street. People started running, panicking, because it looked like just a wall of dust coming for us.
Fires still rage in Lower Manhattan, where two hijacked jetliners slammed into the twin towers of the World Trade Center this morning in a coordinated terrorist attack. A similar scene at the Pentagon, where another hijacked jetliner slammed into the west side. In Pennsylvania, a fourth hijacked carrier crashed. And CBS News aviation correspondent Bob Orr says that scene may yield clues.
If the plane was commandeered, as we believe, if there were things like gunshots or screams or any kind of threats being made, that will tell investigators exactly what was going on.
President Bush will address the nation tonight. CBS News Update. I'm Lou Maligano.
We'll have that for you live here. Continuing live team coverage on WCBS 880. We have seen the video of number 7 World Trade Center coming down, 47 stories tall. That's the latest development on this day of disaster here in New York. According to reports, that building had been evacuated. There had been a fire burning there all day. A scene of such devastation in Lower Manhattan. The latest addition to the list right now there is that building, number 7 World Trade Center. We're going to see if we can reestablish contact right now with WCBS reporter Mary Gay Taylor. Are you there? Apparently a problem right now getting a hold of Mary Gay. You can imagine it's quite a scene there in Lower Manhattan.
Well, one of the problems, of course, that has followed in the aftermath of this terrorist attack on the World Trade Center is transportation, people trapped in the city. We are beginning to get some limited service out of the city via the roads and the bridges and the trains. Let's go to Grand Central Station and get the latest there from WCBS reporter Irene Cornell.
Cameron, New Yorkers with shock written all over their faces began streaming to Grand Central on foot shortly after the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. Spokeswoman Margie Anders said that after shutting down service for a couple of hours, Metro North did an about-face and went into emergency mode, getting people out
a little bit before noon. And a lot of people were moved out of here between noon and 4. We were operating on a load-and-go basis. People would come in and get on a train, and they would make all local stops on whatever line it was on, Harlem, Hudson, or New Haven, all the way to the end of the line. Then the train would come back empty to pick up more people. We weren't bringing anyone into Manhattan. At 4 o'clock, though, we implemented a regular Saturday schedule in both directions, inbound and outbound.
As she said, not many people are coming in. Not many people want to come to Manhattan. About 70,000 were taken out in those early hours. Reporting live, Irene Cornell, WCBS 880 News.
Irene, what is the feeling you get of the people who come into this terminal? Do they look numbed and shell-shocked?
Well, the people I ran into who had witnessed what happened looked totally traumatized and stunned, just wide-eyed, unblinking, still couldn't believe it. One woman said it was like seeing Independence Day and Apocalypse Now without the Bruce Willis role. I mean, they saw the plane hit. They saw the World Trade Center disappear in a poof of smoke after seeing people leap to their deaths. People were just shocked at what they saw.
As WCBS reporter Irene Cornell at Grand Central, and there's just one more point we might make about this, because cell phone service was, for a while, spotty in New York City. Out there, there are frantic people, thousands and thousands of frantic wives, husbands, sons, and daughters wondering where their loved ones are who came to work in New York City today, and they could not call for the longest time to tell them they were okay.
Yeah.
And there are many of them who are going to be widowed or widowers after this event today. At the railroad station in the town where I live, there were a number of cars parked in the lot, and I know some of those people go to the World Trade Center and the Financial Center, and I just wondered how many are going to come back.
There is a feeling that today is the beginning of a whole new era, and they're gathering in prayer right now here in Manhattan at St. Patrick's Cathedral. WCBS reporter Rich Lamb joining us now live.
Now, outside here, outside the cathedral on the streets are virtually empty of cars, trucks, and buses. It is surreal from that viewpoint, but streams of people walk on the sidewalks due to the modified schedule of the subways earlier on and the lack of buses. There are just tons of pedestrians around, and Here at St. Patrick's Cathedral, cops surround the building. People are sitting on the front steps and just kind of staring into space, thinking about the events of the day. Presumably, Cardinal Egan has just begun a mass inside, at which he will preach about the terror tragedy at the World Trade Center. The Cardinal has visited victims of the terror around Manhattan during the course of the day. He even said that he held hands with, looked into the eyes of, and blessed a man who shortly thereafter died, saying that he could tell that the man was a man of faith and that he went in peace. Live outside of St. Patrick's Cathedral, Rich Lamb, WCBS 880 News.
In the last couple of minutes, we've received word that there are people trapped alive under the rubble there. And
This is coming from Mayor Giuliani.
From Mayor Giuliani. So there are, he had said earlier there were survivors. He now says, yes, there are people trapped alive under the rubble. Presumably they were down in the basement or the sub-basement when it all came cascading down.
It's been a frantic day for those with loved ones in Lower Manhattan. It's been a frantic day for the rescuers trying. And in the last few minutes, our developing story, we've been following you. The loss of a third building in the World Trade Center complex. Building 7 gave way just a few minutes ago. 47 stories tall. There are reports that the building had been evacuated earlier. WCBS reporter Allison Keyes is live in Lower Manhattan.
It looks like a nuclear bomb just hit here for the third time today. Earlier today, when the Twin Towers collapsed, there was a huge cloud of debris, and that's pretty much what's happening now. When the building first collapsed a few minutes ago, you couldn't see anything in front of you except a cloud that looked like it was on the ground. There's now, oh gosh, 3 or 4 inches of that white soot that has been floating around Lower Manhattan since the Twin Towers collapsed earlier. They are hoping that now that that building has collapsed, they're going to be able to get rescuers into that area. They had pretty much pulled the fire and police out of that area for waiting for that building to collapse. Now they're hoping that they can get in and start digging at that rubble and getting some of the people that may be trapped underneath out. Live in Lower Manhattan, Allison Keyes, WCBS 880 News.
And let's get an update on traffic now as we go back to Tom Kaminsky in the traffic center.
All right, Cameron, let's go back over to what is open. The upper level of the George Washington Bridge is open to New Jersey. The New Jersey-bound Lincoln Tunnel has one lane available. The Queens-bound Midtown Tunnel is open. Queens-bound 59th Street Bridge at this point is also open. New York Waterway Ferry Service is running. Metro North is running into and out of Grand Central. And Long Island Railroad running limited eastbound service out of Grand Central. Now, only emergency vehicles are allowed into Manhattan. To that end, the Holland, Lincoln, and George Washington Bridge closed inbound into Manhattan. Every approach into Manhattan from the Bronx, from Queens, from Brooklyn is closed. New Jersey Transit trains running with very limited service, but no bus service at all at this point. PATH trains at this point are still not running. Now, there are closings on the New Jersey side because of this. The Newark Bay extension of the New Jersey Turnpike eastbound is closed from 14 through 14C. That as a result of the closing of the Holland Tunnel. The eastbound lanes of Route 3 are closed at the New Jersey Turnpike as a result of the Lincoln Tunnel closing. Route 80 eastbound. Express lanes are shut at the Garden State Parkway. Then everyone forced onto the New Jersey Turnpike. No one gets past 80 and 95 in Ridgefield Park as a result of the closing of the George Washington Bridge. Let's go back over to Craig Allen, WCBS Weather Center.
Temperatures tonight will be down around 60 in the city, 50 to 55 for the suburbs, 45 to 50 in the chilly inland valleys, this under clear skies. Sunny tomorrow, 72 to 78. Thursday, sunny to partly cloudy, about 80. We could see a shower late Thursday or Thursday night, then clearing and cooler Friday, fair, dry, and cool for Saturday and Sunday. I'm Craig Allen at the WCBS Weather Center.
Sun is setting on what's going to be called a day of infamy. The temperature holding here in Manhattan at 80 degrees.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
CBS News Update. I'm John Harchie. President Bush is on his way back to Washington after Air Force One rushed him off to secure Air Force bases in Louisiana and Nebraska. White House aides say the president will address the nation tonight on the simultaneous terrorist attacks in New York and Washington.
Here in Washington, D.C., we are at threat condition Delta. That is the highest condition that we can go to.
Pentagon spokesman Craig Quigley, outside of the still burning wing of the Pentagon, hit this morning by a hijacked commercial airliner. In New York, planes struck each of the World Trade Center towers, which collapsed a short time later. And the devastation isn't over. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick saw World Trade Center Building Number 7, a 47-story building, go down.
We have a full frontal view of that building, and suddenly everyone started screaming. When I looked up, all you could see was this huge wall of dust and debris coming down the street. People started running, panicking, because it looked like just a wall of dust coming for us.
Obviously, the human loss in Manhattan will be large. CBS News reporter Pamela McCall.
The only estimate that I've heard from the mouth of an official is that there were 10,000 people in each of those towers and 5,000 tourists. It's very hard to tell. People have conference rooms inside. They have people that come in for meetings that don't actually regularly work there. We also have the Marriott Hotel, which is in the base of this.
At the Pentagon, the toll of dead and injured is believed to be about 100. CBS News Update. I'm John Hartz.
The very latest there heard live on WCBS 880 on a day many are comparing to the day they attacked Pearl Harbor, Cameron.
We have just in the last little while gotten the first figures out of Washington, D.C., where another hijacked plane made a terrorist attack on the west wing of the Pentagon, diving in, damaging it, and setting it on fire. This word is that about 100 people are believed to have been killed or injured in today's attack on the Pentagon. That's the first word, and like all these casualty figures, they're imprecise. They're going to change, but you just heard somebody talking about the number of people who might have been in both those buildings. Some 50,000 people flow into the World Trade Center to work every day, and there are many other tourists that come in and out. We have no way of knowing how many were in there, how many possibly got out. We do know that some people have come down from as far up as the 74th floor because we talked to one man who had survived that. So that just remains to be seen. But as Mayor Giuliani said, the casualty toll is probably going to be higher than we can bear.
And the speculation continues to swirl on the questions of who and why. And joining us live, an expert on international terrorism, Stephen Emerson. Thank you for joining us this afternoon.
I'm sorry to have to be with you.
What your thoughts on who could have done this and why? The questions everyone, we're all asking it now.
Look, right now, all the parameters and all the paradigms that we've had in the past have been broken and shattered. No one ever imagined this type of scenario. Even the counterterrorist training seminars that were held at the CIA, Pentagon, FBI, never envisioned four or five simultaneous attacks on these facilities, number one. Number two, in terms of capability, there's only a finite number of people in the world today that have the capability, the motivation, wherewithal, and have issued direct threats. And at the top of the list, as law enforcement agencies have been saying all day on background, it's Osama bin Laden. He clearly has demonstrated a willingness to carry out spectacular simultaneous suicide bombings as he did last in 1998 on the twin bombings in Kenya and Tanzania, and then the bombing he did at the USS Cole. Clearly, he has people in the United States. An operation like this would take at least a year to carry out and plan for reconnaissance, recruitment, and to actually implement it. It's too soon to pin it with clinical evidence, but I can tell you where the intelligence agencies are going on that one.
Do you have any sense of how they can simultaneously hijack four airliners in the United States when security is supposed to be up to guard against that sort of thing? Were they masquerading as pilots in their uniforms going through an unsecure area? What do you suppose?
Well, one, anything is possible. We don't know. But I can tell you that according to some of the terrorist manuals that were seized in the last 5 years from bin Laden's people, he talked about penetrating airport security with using false credentials and false identification papers to get onto airplanes. That's number one. Number two, I can tell you that the Bureau is now, and other agencies are looking at the passenger manifests on the planes to see who might have been not, quote, a legitimate passenger. But as far as airport security, I must tell you that it's much more psychological in terms of the pro forma x-ray. There's equipment that has routinely gotten aboard on airplanes and passed the x-ray equipment for the last 10 years. And this is really much more a psychological deterrence. And they did their homework. They found the weaknesses in the system, and they knew exactly what to do.
And you have come across some quotes from Osama bin Laden at some kind of a wedding video, with one of his son's weddings, talking about the need for a holy war?
Yes, in May of this year, he openly said that his every part of his body is dedicated toward fighting against the infidel. He stands for jihad against the kufr, the infidel today. He shall do so in his eternity. He says, jihad is in my mind, heart, and blood. Nothing will ever take this out of my mind and body. It's my only mission in life. He also gave an interview in June of this year in which a videotape released to his followers in which he openly stated, quote, it's time to penetrate America and Israel and hit them where it hurts most. And I think one thing we've learned over the last 5 years is that he has issued these warnings almost not just to intimidate psychologically, but almost as saying, I'm going to do it. And clearly prosecutors in the embassy trials in New York parsed every single word that he had made prior to the bombings and said these were the indicators that he was going to bomb the U.S. embassies.
Thank you very much, sir. That's Stephen Emerson. We appreciate your thoughts and your insight and your expertise as a terrorism expert on our newsline.
We're also hearing the stock markets will be closed tomorrow. That's the latest news on this devastating blow in the financial district of the New York City and America and the world, for that matter. We're hearing now stock markets will be closed tomorrow, Cameron.
And we understand that all commercial flights, in fact, all flights, no aircraft are moving in the United States. From sea to shining sea, the skies over America, which are normally crisscrossed by hundreds and hundreds of airplanes at any given moment, are eerily empty tonight, save for some Air Force planes that are up there, Strategic Air Command craft, we assume. And earlier today, we did hear and see some fighter planes swoop low over New York City.
It is very strange to look outside and to not see anything in the sky but that blue sky and that pall of smoke over lower Manhattan. Not usually. Usually, we're seeing the usual supply of aircraft in the sky, not at all this time around. And the lights are out on the Great White Way, a potent symbol of the impact of this worst terrorist attack in history. All Broadway shows have been canceled for tonight.
We just want to update you, if we may, on the situation with the traffic, and we're going to turn it over to Tom Kaminsky, but we can tell you that we are beginning to get some service on Metro North both ways. They resumed service initially just outbound, but now they're running both ways on very limited schedules on Metro North. Tom?
Yeah, Cameron, they are calling it a Saturday schedule, but they are running into and out of Grand Central at this point. But as we heard from WCBS reporter Irene Cornell, there really does not seem to be all that much interest coming into Manhattan, which is good, because at this point, only emergency vehicles, at least in terms of the roadways, only emergency vehicles are being allowed into Manhattan. So here, again, is what is open and passable for you if you are trying to get out of the area. The New Jersey-bound upper level of the George Washington Bridge at this point is open. The New Jersey-bound Lincoln Tunnel has at this point only one lane available. There is heavy security at that Lincoln Tunnel, so certainly heavy delays accompanying that. Queensbound at the Midtown Tunnel, that is open. Queensbound 59th Street Bridge also open. New York Waterway ferries up and running. Metro North, as we said, now running with limited service into and out of Grand Central. The LIRR running with limited eastbound service out of Penn Station. Amtrak, the Northeast Corridor, is at this point up and running. Now, getting away from the immediate area in Rockland and Westchester and Connecticut, all the roads are open. There is quite a bit of volume being reported, especially across both ways of the Tappan Zee Bridge. That is alternate volume away from the George Washington Bridge closing. But again, at least all the travel lanes there are open. And in Connecticut, I-95 and the Merritt Parkway running with delays. However, they are all open. Now, we do have closings in New Jersey and on Long Island. We'll update all those closings in the next report. Right now, let's go back over to Craig Allen, WCBS Weather Center.
Temperatures tonight will be down around 60 in the city, 50 to 55 for the suburbs, 45 to 50 in the chilly inland valleys, this under clear skies. Sunny tomorrow, 72 to 78. Thursday, sunny to partly cloudy, about 80. We could see a shower late Thursday or Thursday night, then clearing and cooler Friday, fair, dry, and cool for Saturday and Sunday. I'm Craig Allen at the WCBS Weather Center.
Again, outside right now, light and variable winds, clear skies, really nice-looking afternoon out there with the sunshine above. We're at 80 degrees right now in Midtown. WCBS News Time, 5:50 on a Tuesday afternoon.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti. Still no firm word on the number of people killed or hurt in the destruction of New York's twin World Trade Center towers, but there are now estimates about the numbers at the Pentagon, also hit by a hijacked jetliner. About 100 people believed killed or injured in that attack. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Witnesses said they first noticed the sound of the jetliner flying way too low over an Arlington neighborhood headed right to the Pentagon. This man works at the Navy Annex adjacent to the Pentagon and looked outside when he heard the plane.
Looked up out the window, and a fireball exploded on the side of the Pentagon where the heliport is.
The building was severely damaged, but top military leaders and the Secretary of Defense remain in the basement emergency operations center.
The plane that hit the Pentagon has been identified as American Airlines Flight 77, scheduled to fly from Washington to Los Angeles with 64 people aboard. Meanwhile, in New York, another building that was a part of the World Trade Center complex has now also collapsed. A late report from the scene from CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick.
People started running, panicking, because it looked like just a wall of dust coming for us. It was one of the most frightening experiences I've ever had. It looked like, because it's coming down all these side streets, I was on one of them, that there was no escaping it. It's just this wall that's coming towards you.
That collapse, in addition to the 110-story towers that fell not long after hijacked jetliners crashed into them. President Bush's reaction?
Freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward. And freedom will be defended.
Mr. Bush to speak again to the American people later today. The military on its highest state of alert. States of emergency exist around New York, Washington, and elsewhere. Sports and entertainment events canceled. The financial markets will be closed again tomorrow. CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
Heard live here on WCBS 880.
WCBS News time is 5:52. Well, for the longest time, as you know, all egress from Manhattan was blocked. You couldn't drive out. You couldn't take a train out. You couldn't go through the tunnels. They weren't even letting some people walk, but necessity is the mother of invention, and some people are improvising to get across the Hudson River. Let's update that now. WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
Yeah, apparently a problem there. You can imagine it's been difficult all day trying to get in touch with people and keep them on the line with matters of cell phones.
One of the few things that was running earlier on were the ferry boats. They were taking ferry boats, and some people were going from the Battery in southern Manhattan by ferry to Staten Island, and then from Staten Island across into New Jersey. That was one of the circuitous routes they were following.
Yeah.
Peter was going to tell us about another waterborne mode of getting out of southern Manhattan and heading across the Hudson River to New Jersey, but we'll get back to him.
Yeah, you know, in a time like this, in a situation like this, we're seeing that the oldest form of transportation over the rivers around the island of Manhattan is being pressed into full service. Stay with us here. You're listening to live continuing team coverage here on WCBS 880.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
We're learning more about what may have brought down the Twin Towers. Experts in skyscraper construction are talking about the heat. The speculation now is that the flames were fueled by those thousands of gallons of jet fuel and simply melted the building's steel support. One engineering professor says no building could have withstood the impact of the collision, though, and the ensuing blaze together.
It is probably remarkable that they stood as long as they did, which was more than an hour after those disastrous impacts. The plane hit on one side, and you could see the explosion carry right through the other side, blowing the glass out and billowing smoke from the explosion of that kerosene, the jet fuel that exploded on impact. Those planes, if it was indeed a 767, is 400,000 pounds of momentum flying into the side of a stationary building, built to withstand an impact, but not that great.
And we've now lost three buildings in lower Manhattan, the Twin Towers and number 7 World Trade Center. Number 7 collapsed after withstanding a day of the flames and the heat and the smoke in lower Manhattan. Number 7 World Trade Center came down a little bit more than a half an hour ago now. The Connecticut National Guard has been put on standby, ready to deploy equipment and personnel to New York City if asked to help out. The State National Guard in Connecticut has dispatched several helicopters and has been asked to send its chemical unit from Stratford. A spokesman says there is heightened security at all bases and military installations in the state of Connecticut tonight.
Also in New York State, Governor Pataki has declared state of emergency, and he is sending 2,000 National Guard to New York City to help out. We have not been informed whether they have actually reached here or not, but some are stationed nearby.
We're also hearing the stock markets. The stock markets will not be open tomorrow. And St. Vincent's Hospital in Manhattan says it needs help. Doctors are being asked to get in touch with St. Vincent's. Their number there is 212 214-3850, 212-604-3850. Nurses are being asked to call the number 212-604-8474. The hospital has set up a mental health helpline, and the number for that is 212-604-8220. The hospital has a family information center at the hospital, 7th Avenue between 11th and 12th Streets in Lower Manhattan. That information number at St. Vincent's, 212-604-7285.
And we also understand that hospitals as far away from the city as New Haven, Connecticut, were also alerted to be ready to receive possible injured from this attack here in New York City. WCBS News Time, 5:55.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
This is Allison Keys, about four blocks from what used to be the World Trade Center, where police and fire officials on the scene are telling me that at least 200 police officers and up to 250 firemen have been missing, some since the towers came down this morning and others since the building collapse that just happened a few minutes ago, but most of them have been missing since the original explosion. Some of them were in the building helping people come out when the towers came down this morning, sending a cloud of debris through Lower Manhattan. A third building just collapsed a few minutes ago, sending another cloud of debris. They're pulling people back further still for fears that a fourth building in the complex may collapse. We're live in Lower Manhattan. Allison Keys, WCBS 880 News.
And again, Allison, those numbers, at least 200 police officers, perhaps 250 firemen?
Exactly.
All right, WCBS reporter Allison Keys there on the scene, the chaotic scene in Lower Manhattan.
This was supposed to have been the day that brought out voters, a day that brought terror instead to New York City. The primary was suspended not just in New York City on the mayor's race and the other local governmental offices that were up for grabs, but all primary elections statewide on the orders of Governor Pataki today were suspended. They will be rescheduled obviously a later time. We don't know when that will be yet.
WCBS News Time, 5:57. You're listening to our live continuing team coverage, and the call has gone out for blood. The greatest need right now is for O negative, the so-called universal donor, the supply of which is dipped perilously low. Lines have been stretching from the doorways of the donation centers that are up around Manhattan. Among them, the Citicorp Center on East 53rd Street on the east side of Manhattan. New York Blood Services at 150 Amsterdam Avenue. Winthrop University Hospital on Long Island is accepting blood until 8 o'clock tonight at its donor center at 200 Old Country Road in Mineola.
WCBS News Time, 5:57.
We want to check in right now. WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
Paul, we're down here at Chelsea Piers, and there, the pier at Chelsea Piers, and just north of here, Pier 63, there are party boats, similar to the Spirit of New York, that normally run dinner cruises. They are being used to shuttle people across the river to Weehawken. When we understand, there are more than 100 Academy buses waiting for folks to get to Weehawken that are going to various parts of the state. So the ferry lines, the party boats, and the bus companies all chipping in trying to help people. We have seen some MTA buses dropping people off here, and folks are just waiting online. And the ferries are lining up. These boats are taking one after another, bringing people across the other side. Reporting live from Chelsea Piers, Peter Haskell, WCBS 880 News.
More on the transit situation now as we bring in WCBS traffic reporter Tom Kaminsky.
And that may certainly be the best way to do this. If you are in that area near the Hudson River, try to take one of those ferries over to Weehawken. That will work. We now have a reclosing of the upper level of the George Washington Bridge. It had been open New Jersey bound. It has now been closed again. So Holland and Lincoln and GWB are for all intents and purposes closed. There is one lane that is being alternately opened and closed at the New Jersey bound Lincoln Tunnel, but that is about it. Let's go back over to Craig Allen, WCBS Weather Center.
Clear nights expected, about 60 in the city, 50 to 55 for the suburbs, and 45 to 50 in the chillier spots. Not as cool tomorrow night. Sunshine tomorrow, 72 to 78, and the sun will give way to clouds later Thursday. Highs close to 80. There is a chance of a shower late Thursday or Thursday night, and then cooler Friday. I'm Craig Allen at the WCBS Weather Center.
Temperature is 80 degrees at 5:59.
Here on WCBS 880, live continuing team coverage.
Good evening, this is Cameron Swayze.
I'm Paul Murnane. In our continuing coverage on WCBS 880.
Any notion of America being invincible apparently perished in the monstrous rubble of the destroyed World Trade Center.
A third building, number 7 of the complex, collapsed about a half an hour ago.
The Twin Towers crumbled after being hit this morning by two hijacked planes.
Mayor Giuliani says people still are trapped in the rubble.
Thousands are hurt and an untold number are dead. The mayor says the number is likely to be horrendous.
200 police officers, 250 firefighters. firefighters are among the missing tonight.
And the nation's New York City and the nation are on full terror alert.
Count on the global resources of CBS News for continuing coverage of the terror strike against the U.S. on WCBS New York, an Infinity broadcasting station.
WCBS News time at the tone, 6 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Lou Milligano. More than most of us can bear, how an obviously distraught New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani speaks of the casualties from today's coordinated terrorist attack on the Pentagon and the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center.
Lower Manhattan looks like it was bombed during the Second World War.
Hijacked jetliners slamming into the high-profile targets. 25,000 work at the Pentagon, 50,000 at the Trade Center. Now just a horrific pile of debris and rubble spreading out for blocks. Smoke still choking Lower Manhattan with the third building, 47 stories tall, collapsing a short time ago, as CBS News correspondent Pamela McCall watched.
The building has just entirely collapsed before my eyes again. Another plume of smoke coming up. This was a brick-based building. It came down inside of itself. Smoke again on the skyline. The building disappearing before my eyes.
At the Pentagon, hundreds applauded as rescue workers placed an American flag in the rubble of the West Wing where the jetliner slammed to earth there, setting off fires that still burn, literally. And says CBS News defense correspondent David Martin, figuratively among the military brass.
No military officer I've spoken to today has any doubt that if a culprit can be identified, there will be a military retaliation. This is viewed quite simply as an act of war against the United States.
There was a fourth airliner hijacked. It was in the air 2 hours before crashing in western Pennsylvania. And CBS News aviation correspondent Bob Orr says that scene may yield the most information.
If the plane was commandeered, as we believe, if there were things like gunshots or screams or any kind of threats being made, that will tell investigators exactly what was going on. And I've been told by sources that it is a top priority tonight for U.S. investigators to retrieve that cockpit voice tape and try to unravel part of what happened today.
And now, for the first time in this nation's history, there are no commercial carriers flying anywhere. The FAA has grounded the nation's airlines with no plans to allow them back in the air until midday tomorrow at the earliest. President Bush has been hopscotching across the country at air bases and is now on his way back to Washington to address the nation tonight.
Make no mistake. The United States will hunt down and punish those responsible for these cowardly acts.
There will be no trading tomorrow on the New York and American or NASDAQ exchanges. Also, the New York Mercantile Exchange, where energy futures are traded, is not expected to open. Reaction in the Middle East from CBS News correspondent Robert Berger.
Thousands of Palestinians poured into the streets of the West Bank town of Nablus to celebrate the attacks. Demonstrators distributed candy, gunmen fired into the air, and marchers waved Palestinian flags.
Several embassies in the Middle East have closed indefinitely. The State Department says embassies worldwide should take whatever precautions they need. This is CBS News.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
Good evening, I'm Paul Murnane.
And with Paul, this is Cameron Swayze with continuing team coverage of the terrorist attacks. And we are seeing now explosions and flames from Kabul, Afghanistan. That is the capital of that country. There is a report that bombs are falling on Kabul. It is believed that the terrorist Osama bin Laden, who is suspected of being behind today's terrorist attacks, is being harbored in Afghanistan. Afghanistan earlier, the official government there, the fundamentalist Islamic Taliban, had said that they did not have Osama bin Laden in their country and that they did not support this sort of terrorist action against the United States. Again, a big fireball rises over Kabul, Afghanistan, that we can see on television right now. We're following this, of course, and we will update it as we go along. But this is live video from Kabul, Afghanistan. Something is exploding in that capital city. WCBS News Time, 6:04.
Many are missing tonight here in New York. The task goes at hand, and it continues in the rubble of the World Trade Center. We're getting word that many of the missing are police officers, in fact, and firefighters right now.
Let's get the latest now live from WCBS reporter Allison Keyes in Lower Manhattan.
All right. Well, actually, what we want to listen in right now is a news conference that's going on, courtesy of New York One right now, Mayor Giuliani.
The whole city is laid out in front of us. The fire that was coming up from the city seems to have subsided for now. We're not hearing any more death.
All right, we're having apparently a problem right now. We want to check and see if we can listen right now and listen to Mayor Giuliani right now. We're having trouble getting that audio on the air for you, but a news conference with Mayor Giuliani is underway right now.
WCBS News Time, 6:05. We were trying to go to Allison Keyes a little earlier. There's Mayor Giuliani. Do we have Mayor Paul?
No, not right now. We're trying to get a hold of that. Mayor Giuliani talking about, obviously, a day of disaster here in New York, the latest involving Building 7 at the World Trade Center.
It was badly damaged from the collapse of the Twin Towers at about 9 o'clock this morning. WCBS reporter Mary Gay Taylor was watching as that building came down.
47-story building badly damaged when the Twin Towers collapsed earlier today after being hit by those hijacked airliners. As for getting around, all but impossible. Let's get the very latest now live. Tom Kaminsky.
All right, let's try to get you around this area. Now, the Holland and Lincoln and GWB have really taken the brunt of the closings. Now, the Holland obviously closed. The Lincoln is closed into Manhattan, only one lane being allowed outbound. And at this point, the George Washington Bridge has been reclosed. Trying to get out of Manhattan seems to be working best via the water. New York Waterway Ferry is up and running. We've heard from Peter Haskell that there along the piers on the west side, there are other ferry boats that are taking you over to Weehawken. There are shuttle buses in Weehawken that will be taking you to various points in New Jersey. Now, the roads in New Jersey are also severely affected as a result of this. The eastbound lanes of 80 are closed down first at the Parkway and then at the New Jersey Turnpike. Nothing on 80 and 95 into the George Washington Bridge because of that closing. Route 3 eastbound is still closed at the New Jersey Turnpike, and we also had a westbound closing around Meadowlands Parkway because of a fluid spill at that point. The Newark Bay extension of the New Jersey Turnpike is shut at Interchange 14 all the way in from 14C because of the closings at the Holland. On the island, westbound side of the LIE is closed down around the area of 135. Northern State is closed at the Queens Line. The Southern State is closed at the Meadowbrook, and in Queens itself, not an awful lot of traffic at all to speak of on the LIE or the Grand Central, at least that is the word that is coming into us. New Jersey Transit, very limited service on the trains, no bus service being provided. Metro North is now running limited service into and out of Grand Central Terminal. The Long Island Railroad is running limited eastbound service out of Penn Station. The Amtrak Northeast Corridor at this point is running. And Cameron and Paul, back to you.
Tom, thanks. We're also hearing word that New York City public schools will be closed tomorrow. Well, let's listen in right now, Mayor Giuliani at a news conference.
We should go about our business, and we should show these people that they can't stop us, and they can't. Governor?
Governor Pataki now stepping to the microphone.
It's still an ongoing effort to deal with the consequences of this horrible disaster. I want to commend the mayor first and his professional team. I don't think there's any finer group in America or the world, and they're doing an excellent job, and we're proud to have the National Guard and other state resources here helping as well. And I want to thank my colleagues, the governors from the surrounding states. I've heard from virtually every governor, and we're getting help from Pennsylvania and Connecticut and New Jersey to deal with specialized needs to respond to the crisis that we still face. The goal right now is very simple. Everything that can be done to save every single life is being done, and we will continue to make sure that that is a priority. But we're going to get through this, and we're going to get through this strong. And just about an hour ago, I was out on the street in front of Cabrini Hospital, and you see New Yorkers from all walks of lives, more than a block long, waiting in line to donate blood. To help the victims of this disaster. It's that spirit. It's that pulling together and that refusal to be intimidated in the face of this horrible terror that's going to make sure that this city, this state, and this country come back stronger than ever, and that the freedoms that we are entitled to have as Americans will not be lost because of this terror. So, Mayor, again, we're here. We'll do everything we can to make sure we support you.
Live coverage on WCBS 880. We want to listen in right now. CBS 2 covering what we've seen, these explosions in Kabul, Afghanistan tonight. Live coverage, CBS 2, and a report from CNN that they're airing right now.
We are seeing in just about the last 10 minutes, we have been hearing these reports from CNN correspondent Nick Robertson on the ground in Kabul of an explosion you see on the right side of your screen about a third of the way over. The flames of fire, they were quite large just a short time ago, seem to have simmered down, but again, we're just not seeing very much of this because it's the video phone. Again, Nick Robertson saying that they had seen tracers going up as well. They have been listening and hearing the possibility of additional explosions elsewhere. They're trying to follow that, but it's a little bit hard to tell. Again, it is 2:30 in the morning in Kabul, and Nick Robertson continues to watch there. Now let's turn to Judy Woodruff.
Live report here on WCBS 880 as we follow those explosions taking place right now in Kabul.
Kabul is the capital of Afghanistan, and Afghanistan is believed to be the country that harbors the suspected terrorist Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden is, in fact, a terrorist. He is, at the moment, the prime suspect in today's terror attacks on the World Trade Center in New York City, the Pentagon, and the crashing of a plane in Pennsylvania.
Keep it right here at WCBS. You're listening to live continuing team coverage on WCBS.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
John Hartshee. Explosions have just been reported around Kabul, Afghanistan. No word yet about the nature of these explosions. In New York, within the past hour, more than 8 hours after two hijacked airliners crashed into the two tall World Trade Center towers, knocking them down, another building in the complex collapsed. World Trade Center number 7, a 47-story building. CBS News reporter Pamela McCall is in Lower Manhattan.
The whole area is still under a very secure tense alert in terms of the vulnerability of more buildings. So we sit and we wait. Around me, I see New York Fire Department members sitting on the curb looking dejected. Doctors waiting to go in to help the wounded. No one can get in there because it's just still too dangerous. It's a wait-and-see game. The picture that will emerge will be much bleaker than my vantage point. But from a skyline perspective, New York won't be the same for a very long time.
Correspondent Scott Pelley also witnessed this latest destruction.
There were a number of firefighters and police officers in the area. They were watching building number 7 burn because there was frankly nothing they could do about it. The inferno was huge. So much of the building was collapsing into the street bit by bit that they were unable to do anything with it. And now it seems that building number 7 has finally collapsed, at least the third building to fall in the World Trade Center today.
President Bush will address the nation at 9 Eastern time tonight. He spoke earlier today from Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. But make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test.
The president will speak again a little less than 3 hours from now. CBS News Update. I'm John Hartshee.
Heard here on WCBS 880, continuing team coverage of the terrorist attack on the World Trade Center. WCBS News Time is 6:12.
New York City schools are closed for tomorrow. Again, a reminder that no school in New York City tomorrow. The public school system is closed, and we're expecting to hear from President Bush tonight, and we'll have that live for you here on WCBS 880.
But now let's go outside St. Patrick's Cathedral. WCBS reporter Rich Lamb.
A St. Patrick's Cathedral that is ringed with police officers. There were security people inside as well when Edward Cardinal Egan celebrated a mass here. He praised rescue workers, doctors, and nurses for, as he put it, caring for those coming from the ruins of Lower Manhattan. And the Cardinal admonished New Yorkers as well.
You and I need to remind ourselves that this is a city of courageous, decent, noble, hard-working, God-fearing, God-loving people. We will deal with this tragedy without fear. We'll deal with it in a spirit of peace, and we will bring it to closure in justice.
Cardinal warned, "This is no time for hatred," said he. This should not end in hate, but in justice. He said that hatred does not beget peace. And we have also learned that a personal friend, a fire department chaplain, Father Michael Judge, a Franciscan priest, was killed in the terror attack, apparently crushed in one of the collapses downtown. Live at St. Patrick's, Rich Lamb, WCBS 880 News.
Rich, this is the kind of event that challenges people's faith. Why do good things happen to bad people? It's even hard for the church to answer that.
And questions such as, why does God allow things like this to happen? And everybody struggles with those questions at a time like this. Certainly, Father Michael Judge was a great priest, a man of great faith, but he must have looked up as he stood below the flaming torches of the World Trade Center today and wondered the same thing moments before he was to die.
WCBS reporter Rich Lamb outside St. Patrick's Cathedral.
And also we're hearing that as many as 250 New York firefighters are among the missing, perhaps 200 police officers missing in the rubble of Lower Manhattan tonight.
WCBS reporter Jane Tillman Irving has been in the streets of New York City, surveying the mood, getting the feel of the people and talking to them. Jane, where are you and what have you learned?
Cameron, I'm at
Duane Street, right off Church, just a few blocks north of the World Trade Center. I did not hear or see the fire that engulfed number 7, but as I took a cab as close as I could get here, and as I drove, we went through the theater district to type.
Yeah, we're obviously having some technical difficulty there, and obviously a lot of problems with cell phones tonight there, but we will be hearing shortly from WCBS reporter Jane Tillman Irving.
We might take just a moment here to run down some of the closings. As we've told you, as Paul just told you a couple of minutes ago, all New York City public schools will be closed tomorrow. The Brooklyn campus of Long Island University has canceled its classes for tomorrow. In New York City, Teachers College, Columbia University is closed for this evening and tomorrow. Cooper Union for the Advancement of Science and Arts closed today and tomorrow. St. Anthony, St. Alphonsus School in Brooklyn, they're going to be closed tomorrow. Additionally,
yeah, Rutgers University, Middlesex closed. The Borough of Manhattan Community College in Manhattan, this is on the closed list. Xavier High in Brooklyn closed. The Juilliard School in Manhattan will be closed tomorrow. The United Nations International School in Manhattan, that is closed for tomorrow.
We also can repeat what we told you a little earlier. The stock markets in New York City are going to be closed again tomorrow. They were closed today. The terrorist attack struck in the heart of the downtown New York City area, not far from Wall Street and the stock markets.
Right now, we want to go back and listen in to CNN reporter Nick Robertson talking about explosions in Kabul, Afghanistan.
Able to reach the city from their positions, and it's certainly not something that's happened in this city. A barrage of this type, a sustained artillery attack or missile attack of this type in recent years, even.
All right, Nick Robertson, we want you to stay.
Live coverage on WCBS, explosions in Kabul, Afghanistan tonight.
And at 6:30 tonight, that's just a little over 12, 13 minutes away from now, we are going to be carrying the CBS Evening News live on our air, anchored by CBS correspondent Dan Rather.
We've also been following the story out of Lower Manhattan, the latest building to be lost there. We've lost three buildings now. Number 7, Building 7 came down a little before 5:30 this afternoon, so now the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center gone, and Number 7 World Trade Center has collapsed on a day that has completely transformed the New York City skyline.
Mayor Giuliani has said it may be Thursday at the earliest before they have a full idea of how many people were killed and injured. We had some preliminary figures a little earlier in the day. We've not had an update on that yet, and it may be some long time coming. Earlier, the mayor had said 600 people were being treated at the hospitals. There were another 1,500 of what he called the walking wounded, people who stumbled out of the debris with soot on their faces, their clothing torn, some of them bloody, shell-shocked, stumbling away from the ruins of the World Trade Center. Some of those were put on boats and taken over to Liberty Park, and some hospitals in New Jersey were put on standby and then activated to take some of these wounded from New York City.
President Bush has put the government on the highest alert. Officials scrambled to protect the nation's leaders and calm Americans after these terrorist attacks. President Bush will be addressing the nation tonight at 9 o'clock, and WCBS, of course, will have live coverage for you here at WCBS.
WCBS News Time is 6:18. Let's update the traffic transit situation again as we go to WCBS traffic reporter Tom Kaminsky.
All right, Cameron, the thing to remember is that there is no one allowed into Manhattan tonight unless you are emergency personnel or driving in an emergency vehicle. Inbound, every single approach that you can think of is closed down. And to that end, now in the Bronx, we have closings on the southbound Deegan in the 230s, on the Henry Hudson Parkway at the Henry Hudson Bridge, and the westbound Cross Bronx is now closed at the Major Deegan. That upper level GWB has been closed once again. Even now, we're getting word of the Palisades Parkway being closed at exit 2 in Alpine, and at this point we have delays from about exit 4 on down through exit 2, everyone being diverted onto Route 9W. New York Waterway is up and running. Ferry service seems to be the best way out of Manhattan at this point. There are ferries standing by on those west side piers. There are shuttle buses standing by in Weehawken to take you to various points in New Jersey, but it is going to take a long time tonight, and you've really got to just watch your your connections. The Metro North situation, trains are up and running into and out of Grand Central, but with limited service. Long Island Railroad, limited eastbound service out of Penn Station. Amtrak Northeast Corridor at this point is up and running. Trying to get into Staten Island at this point is not possible via the Gothels or Outer Bridge or Bayonne Bridges. Staten Island bound, they are closed. They are at this point, however, opened to New Jersey. Let's go back over to Craig Allen, WCBS Weather Center.
Clear nights expected, about 60 in the city, 50 to 55 for the suburbs, and 45 to 50 in the chillier spots. Not as cool tomorrow night. Sunshine tomorrow, 72 to 78, and the sun will give way to clouds later Thursday. Highs close to 80. There is a chance of a shower late Thursday or Thursday night, and then cooler Friday. I'm Craig Allen at the WCBS Weather Center.
Craig, thanks. Midtown Manhattan right now, 79 degrees. WCBS News Time, 6:20.
Terror strikes the U.S. A special report from WCBS.
CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti. As the search and rescue and body counts continue in a still shock New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania, explosions are now reported in the capital of Afghanistan. BBC reporter Nick Robertson is there.
What appears to be the sound of large missiles incoming and landing in the city. Certainly a big fire on the horizon of the city at the moment, and certainly anti-aircraft fire coming up from the city and rockets being launched and flying across the horizon.
The reports of a possible, and we emphasize possible, U.S. retaliatory raid on Afghanistan's capital so far unconfirmed, and they could be due to other causes. We expect to hear soon from Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and later on from President Bush. Afghanistan is believed to be the hiding place of Islamic militant Osama bin Laden, the focus of much of the suspicion following this morning's series of hijacked jetliner attacks that brought down New York's 110-story high World Trade Center towers. This construction worker saw it happen.
First, everybody started trampling everybody, and then they said stop and take it easy, and everybody walked down normally, peacefully, and there was all kinds of smoke coming from the other end.
Later on, more buildings collapsed in the area. New York's Mayor Rudolph Giuliani on the rescue efforts.
My main focus right now, obviously, is on saving as many lives as possible. I think it's still possible for us to save a lot of the people that are there.
And estimates at the Pentagon have as many as 100 killed and injured in yet another plane attack. Again, President Bush to speak later. Financial markets, air traffic stop for now. CBS News Update, I'm Tom Foti.
Here on WCBS 880, WCBS News Time 622 with Paul Murnane. This is Cameron Swayze. In the last minute or so, we've gotten word that the Port Authority bus terminal is going to be closed indefinitely. We do have some trains running in and out of New York City. Metro North has limited service. Let's go to Grand Central Terminal for an update from WCBS reporter Irene Cornell.
Well, traumatized commuters fleeing the disaster downtown made their way to Grand Central Terminal, making a dash for the first trains that were available after service had been shut down for a couple of hours. And spokeswoman Margie Anders said they've made a successful exodus.
We usually carry about 75,000 in during the rush hour, so I'd say that we've already taken the vast majority of them home.
This was the place people wanted to be, just to get here and get out.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. We did have to evacuate the building a couple of times, and we also restricted entrance to just the main 42nd Street door.
Grand Central Terminal is a landmark, too, and people were very worried here. Reporting live, Irene Cornell, WCBS 880 News.
On the Long Island Railroad, we're hearing from our reporter Holly Hare that the LIRR is now riding for free. No cost to ride the Long Island Railroad tonight, and there is some limited east and westbound service right now on the Long Island Railroad. Let's go to the Chelsea Piers right now on the west side of Manhattan, WCBS reporter Peter Haskell.
Paul, the contrast here looking from north to south is just something you can't comprehend. You look to the north and you see the Empire State Building standing there grandly with the sun glistening off the west side of the building and the blue sky, and then you look down to the right, no more Twin Towers, a column of smoke still going skyward all these hours later, plumes of smoke, ash-colored, it looks like a volcano. A lot of people have been coming here to get home. They don't know how exactly they're going to get home, but they're going to get on a ferry, all kinds of party boats like the Spirit Cruise Lines and other party boats that would normally have dinner cruises. They're loading people up, taking them over to Lincoln Harbor and Weehawken. People are riding for free. We've seen hundreds, perhaps thousands, come through here lining up waiting for the next ferry over. When they get to the the other side. There are Academy buses that we understand have also been donated. They are there. They're going to be taking people to various spots in New Jersey. We've been told more than 100 buses. Now, Craig Glogower usually would go from the Port Authority, take a bus to Barnegat. He came here instead. He works over 22nd Street. He walked down to Canal Street, then walked back over to Chelsea Piers, and he said in his office today, absolutely nothing got done.
I would say probably for the first few hours, everybody was trying to see where their loved ones and friends were. And then after that, you know, they're wondering, you know, how they were going to get out. What, you know, everyone was asking if they knew, you know, any ways out of the city, whether they're going to Long Island, Staten Island, New Jersey. You know, it's just pretty much everyone trying to figure out how to, whoever needed to get out of the city, how to get out.
Has it sunk in yet?
I don't think it's going to sink in to me as much as until I go home and even watch it on the news more. You know, I guess because I was here and I you know, it doesn't seem real to me. It still seems like somewhat like a horror movie, you know.
He said it was like watching that horror movie over and over again. Now, the West Side Highway is shut down in this part of the city. On the northbound lanes up in about, I don't know, maybe 25th to 26th Street, there are these huge orange sanitation trucks that are blocking the highway. The southbound side is open, but emergency vehicles only. We've seen vehicles from all over the area, Westchester, Long Island, New Jersey, streaming down. We've seen construction, earth-moving type equipment that will likely be used for the search and rescue. And the buses, city buses, have been dropping people off here so they can at least get to New Jersey and then fend for themselves from there with the help of the Academy bus lines. Reporting live from Chelsea Piers, Peter Haskell, WCBS 880 News.
Peter, thanks. And WCBS reporter Jane Tillman Irving has been watching the scene playing out in Lower Manhattan this afternoon. She joins us now live. Jane?
Paul, I'm at West Broadway and Duane, not far from the World Trade Center. And from where I am, I have a clear view of just smoke billowing down. At a certain point, everything disappears and all you see are billows of smoke, gray and white, coming from the 7 World Trade Center, I guess, that has just recently gone down, as well as the other buildings, but probably most recently from 7 World Trade Center. Took me a while to get here by cab, bus, and foot, and as we drove through Times Square, I saw a building, and there appeared to be bed sheets or some large canvases spray painted, and they said they had messages up on a building. They said, America, freedom must be defended. Pray for the victims and their families. There were three of those messages, and I walked by a firehouse and saw firemen sitting in absolute dejection. They were just exhausted looking. And also, as I walked by in Chinatown, I saw a man describing the explosion to a group of people. I didn't understand his language, but from his wild gesticulations and the word boom, I knew exactly what he was talking about. Down here at this point, though, at West Broadway, it's quite eerily quiet. Everything is closed up. Even the residential buildings don't seem to be occupied. I see we have a lot of EMS, a lot of official personnel, and a few pedestrians, but it's eerily quiet, and yet a little farther south, there's all that horror and smoke. Reporting live, Jane Tillman Irving, WCBS Radio.
Thanks a lot, Jane. A little farther south is WCBS reporter Mary Gay Taylor. We understand they're moving some heavy equipment in, Mary Gay.
Yes, some very big equipment. Now, I guess that they had been waiting for that Building 7 to collapse. Now that it has, I think they hope to stabilize it and to get in there to see what people didn't get out, if there are any people trapped that they can rescue, or bodies of people who were killed in it. There are ambulances from all over the area lined up along the streets here waiting. There are no reports of how many or whether any firefighters and police officers were killed who were in the building when the towers came down, 1 and 2. So they are in another phase now, I think, of the work.